Hello, everybody, and welcome to the All Sports Best podcast. This is a very, very cool exclusive, one of the first I've ever done with a professional athlete that's at the top of his game right now. His name is Bo Lacumbo. He is a linebacker for the San Francisco 49ers, newly signed. And so how are you doing today, Bo?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. It's great to have you on, and I've got so many questions for you. I hope you're ready for some quite a bit of questions. You good with
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Okay, so first off, I wanted to hear about young Bo. What was it like growing up in Kinshasa, DRC, which is the you're going to have to tell me once again what that – I mean, I know it's the Republic of Congo, correct?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so it was called Zaire, and I think they changed it pretty much before we left the Congo in '96. So yeah, I know it's had many names: Zaire, Democratic Republic of Congo. So it's a good place. So I was born in 1990. We immigrated to Montreal, to Quebec, when I was 6 years old. My father was a student at the time at the University of Sherbrooke, and he was the first to leave. So he left us in '93 or '94. He left the whole family behind, and it took a little bit for us to join him because he had to work on passports. You know, that whole application at the time took a bit of time. So eventually, we did join him in '96 and moved to Quebec, and it was a pretty. It was kind of a hard transition for me because it was a huge culture shock. You know, when we immigrated around winter. You know, I don't know if you've ever been to Quebec around wintertime, but you don't want to be there during the wintertime.
Yeah, it sounds like cold. It's crazy.
It's horrible. So that just even adapting to the weather is very difficult. That was the first thing that I think was hard for me already at such a young age. And then from there, we had to adapt to the culture and the language, everything. The language wasn't too bad because in the Congo, we speak French. It's a national language. You speak French, Lingala. Uh-huh. But still learning the culture and adapting to everything was a bit difficult. But, you know, you live and learn, and you learn, you keep going. So.
So how many languages do you currently speak?
Well, at home, we speak French. I speak French, Lingala, and English.
Wow.
I kind of lost my Lingala a little bit, which is our native tongue. I can understand it and I can speak it, but I can't speak it as fast or as fluent as I used to be able to.
Wow, so that's really impressive. Does that play into your playing skills at all? Like, does it help you to, you know, understand other people and their cultures or anything like that? What advantage does that play in your life?
Oh, there's so many advantages. I mean, just from a career perspective, being able to be bilingual, yeah, you have, you know, a higher opportunity to get picked up, a job, especially here in Canada. If you can speak English, French, that's to your benefit. So it definitely helped, and it helps to connect with other people too. Being able to speak more than one language, being able to understand, communicate, you know, all of it. When I went to college at Oregon, my major was communication, journalism and communication, so it helped me even at school as well.
So could you tell me a little bit about how you got into sports? You made all these moves, you know, you made different culture changes and learned these languages, but you got into sports to the point where you became excellent. So how did you get into sports in the first place?
I got into sport right away, literally right when we came in Canada. I think at 7 years old, because we lived in Quebec for a year, and from there we decided to go west, and we moved to British Columbia, and we've been there ever since. So when we got to British Columbia, at about 7-8 years old, I was involved in sports. My first sport that I got involved with was soccer. I played, I did 2-3 years of soccer and loved it. It was a pretty natural sport for me because, you know, it's just pretty easy. And from there, you know, I've always been a cheers kid. So from there, I decided to do basketball, and I did basketball for a long time before I even got into football. I actually got into football late. I'm 14 years old. That was my first true season. And, you know, just from playing soccer, basketball, and into football, being able to do all three sports helped me to learn how to play football a little easier. You know, like, I don't know, I find that being a good basketball player, well, really any sport, it translates well in football. So for football, it was more so something that I was curious about. It wasn't like I was. I didn't play Pee Wee football. I didn't do any football at that age. But what got me into it was my older brother, and he was the one that first kind of started it in the family. He started playing late as well, but it just looked so exciting to me and so fun, and I was like, I have to try this sport. And when I tried it, I instantly was good at it and instantly fell in love with it and just decided to focus on just football, and now we're here.
So if you're talking to young athletes, you're telling them play as many sports as you can at a young age because it's going to play a big role in how coordinated you are later on, right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, so you went to high school and in Canada, and then your junior year you actually transferred out to a prep school in Oregon. Did that help you get more looks for college, and was that your focus?
That was pretty much what it was. It was, you know, at the time, it was kind of hard for me to get some good tape out to colleges and to have scouts come watch me play. So we decided, and, you know, I was in love with football at the time, and I took it serious, and I wanted to try to get to the next level and play Division I. So we decided to move to South Eugene, and I went, you know, to not only for football but for school too. South Eugene is a very good program, and so when I got there, it was like a business trip for me. That whole year was all business. I played football. I started. The coach wanted me to play almost all the positions, but yeah. I think they said linebacker was what they saw my future in. So they started plugging me in at linebacker and safety. It was good, and it was good competition too in the States. And so then I started playing well, and the scouts eventually started seeing that, oh, this guy from Canada is legit. He's good. Let's pay attention to him more.
Yeah.
And then I started going to like the camps that they used to have, like the Nike camps and the little camps they used to have, and I started performing well in those camps as well. And my first scholarship offer was from Oregon State. They were the first ones. And then, you know, once a college or once a program sees, oh, this guy got a scholarship, then it just becomes a domino effect, you know.
Right.
Then Oregon came after it, and Arizona State, and like Portland State, like pretty much all the Pac-10 teams, at the time it was Pac-10, all the Pac-10 teams started to recruit me.
So did you sign your junior year, like out of your junior year, you signed to Oregon, and then that's when you made your decision, then you went back to Canada to play your senior year back at home,
yeah,
right?
That's right, yes, sir.
So what played into the whole decision of playing at Oregon? Was it just you really liked it where you were at, or, you know, did they offer you something better? I mean, obviously they have insane gear, they have a great facility, fan base, everything. What was it that really stood out that you said, you know what, I'll go ahead and sign?
It was a couple of things. One of it was close to home. You know, it's about 7 hours, 8 hours driving home. I think that was the biggest thing for me, because I didn't want to go somewhere so far where I couldn't come and visit home. I wanted to stay close to home. That was the number one decision. Number two was the coaching staff at the time was very consistent, and it wasn't going anywhere. You know, they had Don Pellin there, Nick Aliotti, Mike Delotti, Coach Steve Ritwood, Coach Neal. All of them were stable, and at the time that was very important for me. I didn't want to go somewhere where I'm getting recruited by these people, and then when I get there, they all get fired or something. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right. Yeah, so that makes a lot of
sense.
That
was number two. And number three, it was just like a friendly environment. It was, you know, like safe. was good. They had a good supporting people, like the Oregon fans. Everything about Oregon. Oregon is amazing. So, it was an easy decision.
Did Chip Kelly ever personally approach you and say, "Hey, we really want you on our team"? Was that part of the recruiting process as well?
Can you say that again? Sorry, you cut out.
Yeah, did you talk to Chip Kelly when you were getting recruited?
When I was getting recruited, I was actually getting recruited by Don Pelham, which was the linebacker coach at the time, and Mike Bellotti and Steve Greatwood. They were the ones recruiting me heavily. I didn't know anything about Chip Kelly. Matter of fact, I didn't even know Bellotti was going to leave. And so when he left, that's when Chip Kelly came in. So basically, that whole class, the class of 2009, that whole class was the same. We were all brand new from wow. Chip. Like, it was Chip's first year there, and we were Chip's first class, basically.
That's cool. And did you and you enjoyed playing for him?
Oh, yeah, I loved it. It was the greatest experience of my life, for sure, hands down.
Okay, so, and this is a very unique process that you took. You said you signed your junior year, you went back to Canada, you killed it your senior year, did absolutely insane, and I'm going to read off some of the stats so people can know. At linebacker, you had 47 tackles, 4 interceptions. At running back, you had over 1,500 yards, 22 touchdowns, and then at wide receiver, which this blows my mind, 37 catches and 728 yards. I mean, just an unreal amount of roles that you had on your senior year. And we're going to get into your college, but were you just a machine when you were a senior in high school, or what? How did you do that?
I don't know about a machine, but I was a bit bigger and blessed with like a bigger frame, bigger, like more athletic than some of my peers at the time. You know, I was always kind of the. I remember even when I was back in middle school, elementary school, I was always taller than everybody, always a bit bigger. Like my growth spurt was much faster than my peers. And I remember one time, like, we were playing basketball, and one of the parents were like, "They need to check that man's ID. He's not a kid, like, you know, trying to, I don't know, ruffle my feathers or whatever."
Right.
But I was just athletically gifted, and you know, I'm very fortunate to that, and very grateful for it, and that's what it was.
Were comments like that when you were younger, you know, people heckling you from the stands, even at a young age, did that help you to develop mental strength moving forward?
It definitely did. I mean, I never took it personally. To me, it was all jokes. And I think what motivated me, or what till this day still motivating me, is just like the wanting to be successful and wanting to make my family proud. And I think that's the biggest thing for me, because we're not the most fortunate people. You know, we really literally started from the bottom, like with nothing nothing. So I think that's the biggest thing for me is just wanting to be successful, wanting to make my family proud, wanting to make myself proud. And yeah.
Absolutely. And by going to Oregon, I'm sure you did just that. You went to Oregon. Tell me some of the things that you just really loved about going and attending the university, and then also, you know, training with the team and stuff like that. I've seen their facilities, and I mean, you must have been just in heaven for football.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it was more so at the time it was academics. I wanted to get a good degree. My mom always kind of harped on that. From a young age, you know, get your degree and, you know, make sure that you take care of school. School is important. So the biggest thing was school. And at the time, Oregon was already working on improving their school. When we got there, they were building the Jaquel Center, which was the student-athlete study hall.
Okay.
And so they were, like, up and coming. They were improving and the academics was very important, and you know, football was always good there. It was like the era that I came in was good because we took Oregon to a whole nother level with Chip and with winning, I don't know how many games, 40-something games, going to the national championship, playing, you know, Cam Newton, Auburn, and them, going to two Rose Bowls and winning Pac-10, Pac-12 championships. Like, we were a dynasty during my time there.
That's awesome.
We were the team to beat.
And so, you were there during the speed era where it was just you guys were faster and stronger than anybody else. You guys were rocking the electric green uniforms, right? You were like at the peak of Nike changing your uniforms and everything like that, right?
Exactly. We were like the trendsetters with everything from the tempo offense with Chip to, you know, the uniforms, like you said, everything. We were awesome. I mean, not to brag, but we were pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it makes sense. And you guys, from what I hear, and I mean, this could be a myth, but you never wore the same uniform twice in a season, right?
That's right.
Wow. So can you tell me a few of your favorite pieces of gear that you might still have today or just that you had at the time?
I still have about 20-some different jerseys.
Really? You got to keep them?
Yeah, I got to keep them. They actually gave us the deal at when you graduate, you get to buy your jersey. So I bought the whole collection. So I got about 20 at home. Got some nice cleats that I haven't worn. Got some. They did a lot of custom made Jordans for us. So I got some Jordans, some Oregon Jordans, and some nice stuff. Obviously some rings. I got about 8 rings.
Wow.
Yeah, I got some nice collections that. Matter of fact, when I'm done playing football, my man cave is gonna be nice, man.
Oh, no kidding!
I'm inviting you to come check it out when it's
man,
done.
I'll be there 100%. There's no doubt. With your time at Oregon, did you get to meet any celebrities? Because I know it was the center of attention, especially in your era, like we just talked about. What were some of the celebrities that you were either able to see or meet?
Well, we saw. Like, I remember when we played USC one year, LeBron James came, him, Kobe, Chris Paul, Dwayne Wade, all of them came, and for some reason they were on our side of the sideline, and it was all of them, all the best, all the stars were there, and that was pretty cool. We met one year when we went to the Rose Bowl, Kobe came and talked to us, to the whole team. I thought that was pretty cool. But like anytime we went to a Rose Bowl game, which was every year, we met a celebrity. Like we watched a dude from USC who is also a comedian. We met him. He did some stand up for us.
That's cool.
I don't know, man. There's a lot of celebrities that we met.
What would you say? Oh yeah, okay, I got you. What would you say was your favorite moment in college? Just one specific moment. Do you have one?
I think going to the national championship game.
Yeah, that'd be a good one for sure.
Yeah.
Could you tell me a little bit about what the fans were like? What was the stadium? What was the feel of the stadium? You're down on the sidelines or on the field or just pretty much anywhere in a uniform. You know, the crowd's got to be electric.
Yeah, the crowd was always electric. Every Saturday, they came ready to scream, to lose their voice. Austin Stadium only seats about 55,000 people, which is not a lot, but it always sells out. And I think it's a little bit more now, probably like closer to 60,000, probably 58,000. But it always sells out. It's always loud. It's always, they even have this thing where they say it never rains in Austin Stadium, which is kind of false because Oregon always rains, not Oregon.
Right.
I always thought it was funny that they said that. But yeah, the atmosphere was good. The fans, they were top notch. They were elite. They big support. Even just walking around on the streets, if you're a Duck player, they show love, man. They show love. So I love Duck fans.
That's an awesome atmosphere, no doubt. So I have one last question about Oregon, and then we'll move on to your professional career. And I've seen pictures.
Absolutely.
I've seen pictures of this in the locker room. Is it true? Did you guys have access to a personal barber where they would cut your hair and hook it up every week?
I think they still do have that now. Yeah, and yes, we did. When, wow. Especially when they built the new the new locker room at Oregon, they added the special barber in there. So whenever you want to get your hair cut, a barber will come in and cut your hair, which I thought was like top of the level.
Yeah.
I don't even think some NFL stadiums have that.
Exactly. That's crazy. Okay, let's move on to your professional career. You went from Oregon. You decided you wanted to play in British Columbia, you know, back close to home, and you played for the British Columbian Lions. So,
yes, that's right.
What made you decide to go back and play in Canada for the Lions in specific?
Well, coming out of college, they had told me my senior year when we played in the Alamo Bowl against Texas, I messed up my shoulder. I had already messed up my shoulder in my sophomore year and my junior year, but it just got progressively worse, and I never fixed it until I went and did my X-rays and my MRI and found out that I had a torn labrum. So coming out of our last game in December, my shoulder was messed up, and I needed to get surgery on it. So, but then at the time, I was invited to go to the NFL Combine. And my agent at the time was saying that, you know, let's have you go to the combine. Let's have you do what you could do at the during the drills, during the combine. And then after the combine, we'll fix your shoulder. So I did that. I went to the combine. I did well, with a messed up shoulder. I ran my 40. I had a good time. I did well in the position drills. And then after the combine, I went and did my surgery. So when I did my surgery, I couldn't do anything. I didn't even do my pro day. And at the time, they were saying that I was going to get drafted around, like, late sixth to seventh round.
Right.
You know, and since I didn't do my pro day and I didn't really do any football except for rehab, I lost that. My stock fell, and I didn't get drafted. And I didn't get picked up. I didn't go to any camps, nothing. So I was kind of, like, thinking, okay, I'm already drafted in the CFL. Should I just go up there and play a couple of years and, you know, finish up? And so that's what I did. So it was more so a strategic move. You know, I obviously wanted to go in the NFL, but without any interest, it was like, okay, let me, you know, and plus I still wanted to play football. You know, I love football. So I decided to sign with my home team here in Vancouver. I signed with BC Lions. My shoulder was good, and played three seasons. Played well, loved it. Great experience. I mean, the CFL is a great league. It's I think it's next to the NFL as far as like competition and the speed of the game and all that. So
right.
After that, I did my years there, and then now I'm here, and now I'm getting ready to go to my second year in the NFL.
Okay, so we can't exactly move past the CFL just yet, because from what I read, you were an all-star. You were in 2015 CFL West all-star. You were nominated, and picked. So what was like? What was that whole experience?
It was good. You know, 2014 was my first year, so I came into the season late. I was with only seven games left. That's when I signed with BC Lions. So 2014, I signed with, and the reason why I came late was because I was still waiting to see if a team was going to bring me in into camp or during the season, and they did it. So I signed September 8th, 2014, and played seven games. And then the following year, that was my All-Star year, I got nominated as an All-Star on special teams. And so, it was great, man. I played a whole season in the CFL, and, you know, I did well, and it was all good.
You did. You definitely did. Now, I've got to ask, you've signed with the Ravens, you've signed with the Raiders, and now you're on the 49ers. You know, what is the feel for those teams? You know, what's the treatment like when you get put onto an NFL team and you sign to them? Right now you are working with the making the 63-man roster, correct?
Yes.
So what's correct. That process like?
It's just a grind, you know, from the time you sign to all the way through the following year. You know, you got to go through OTAs, which is organized team activities, which is like you bond with the team and you do workouts, three phases, phase one, phase two, phase three. Then you do wing camp. And then from there, you have a bit of a break, then you come back for training camp. And training camp is really the time when you can show out and kind of try to prove yourself and trying to prove to the team that you belong. And so I think it's important, of course, obviously around during the summertime when you're just grinding, you're competing every day, day in, day out, long hours, early mornings, and then you play those preseason games, and that's when you put some good film. And, yeah, you're just trying to find your spot, your role on the team, and hopefully it works out for you. And that's kind of what I've learned. Like, you got to take it a day at a time. You know, you got to put in the work, and you got to obviously get away. When it's time to get away from football, get away from me, you know, get rejuvenated so you can come back and have a good year. So it's kind of, it's good. It's good stuff.
Okay, I can dig that. So can you tell me, you know, what your main focuses are right now? You know, differences in speed or strength or technique. What is it that right now you feel like, hey, if I can master this, we're going to be, you know, headed in the right direction?
Right now for me is I want to put on some weight. You know, I've always been kind of a lighter guy. I'm about 234. So I would like to be up to 240 going into training camp, about 240, 243. Just ready to go. I think that's the biggest thing. Technique, you know, technique comes with practice every day. As long as you're continuously working on your technique, that should be no problem. And even the speed of the game slows down. The speed is not a problem to me. It's more so just holding my own. You know, whether I play inside or whether I play outside on the edge, that would be nice. I personally like playing both inside and outside, and I like playing in space as well, and coming off the edge. I think that's where I'm going to show that I could add some value right. Coming off the edge and playing in space, and, you know, playing inside as well. You know, just being versatile.
Oh, yeah. That'd be a great asset to any team. So, what I've been doing is I've been touching on vision in a lot of my interviews. And so I want to ask you, what's Bo Lacumbo's vision? What is your short-term vision and then your long-term vision?
Well, what do you mean by that? I mean, that's kind of a broad question.
Okay. I got you. So what would you say your goal would be for the end of this year? You look back at the end of the season this year, what would you want to see, you know, the accomplishments you've had, you know, throughout the season?
Like personal goals?
Yes.
I want to lead the team either on special team tackles or on something. I want to be the leading man on the stat, whether that's sacks, whether that's tackles, whatever. That would be kind of a short-term and long-term goal, I guess. It's more a long-term goal.
Okay. Very good.
That would be one thing. Mm-hmm.
For sure, yeah, and I love it. You're not aiming low. You're definitely, you know, shooting high, and I think that, you know, with the way that you're looking at it, I think it can definitely happen. What would be the award that really, you know, set it off for you, that you would say you earned this award and you're just like, you know what, I worked so hard for this. This is what I've been dreaming of. What award would that be?
For personal goal, it would be being an All-Pro. Being an All-Pro, and obviously, I think the ultimate goal would be to win the Super Bowl. I think that would be amazing. But, yeah, I would like to be an All-Pro.
When you talk about your goals, you know, a lot of the way that people think and see their future comes from their support system as well. You know, you got to have people that are behind you, backing you 100%. How's your support system?
My support system is great, man. I have my mom in my life still. My dad is in my life. My dad is actually right now, he's in the Congo. I haven't seen him in almost 3 years, but he's still in my life. He's still alive, healthy. I have my siblings who are, I see them every day. My family's there, good, close friends. I tend to be, I'm kind of a reserved guy. I don't know, I'm just kind of to myself most of the time. And I value that. I like my personal space. But the support system is good. I still talk to a lot of my ex-teammates at Oregon. I still talk to most of them. Still in good, close communication. Man, all is well.
That's great. That's great to hear. And, man, keep working, because I just have a good feeling that you're going to be, you know, making it for one hell of a story on, like, ESPN. It's going to be, hey, Bola Cumbo, this is where he came from. This is what he's doing. And it's going to be, like, it's going to be huge, man. It's going to happen for you.
Absolutely. Thank you. Yep.
I want to give a big shout-out to MGA Sports Agency for helping us get this interview put together. And I'd like to thank my sponsors, yeah. Constructors, Inc., Albertsons Market, Bowen Insurance, and Kaleidoscoops. Fashion Eyeworks as well. Now, Bo, I told you about this just a little bit earlier. It's called Rapid Fire. It's a segment that we do, and it's me. I'm going to spit questions your way, and you're just going to hit me back with your answers. Are you ready for this?
Okay.
Bo, you still with us?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. You ready?
Yep.
Okay. Number one, favorite ice cream flavor?
Vanilla.
Favorite brand of gear that you're rocking?
Brand of gear, Nike.
Childhood favorite teams?
Florida State.
Okay. Favorite color?
Blue.
Favorite restaurant?
BJ's Restaurant.
Okay. All right. And maybe you're going to have to tell me a little more about that, because I don't know exactly what that is.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good.
Is it a Canada thing?
No, it's in the States. It's BJ's. They
oh,
have,
BJ's.
Like, these things called, yeah, BJ's.
Okay.
They have these things called Pazookies. You know Pazookies,
oh,
right?
Oh, yep. The ice cream on the cookie?
The cookie, yeah.
I got you there. Coolest exclusive that you ever were given at Oregon?
Probably custom-made Jordans. Like, I think it was the fives.
Ooh, okay. Hidden talent.
I am a comedian. No, I don't know. I guess you could say I'm very good at video games.
Okay. And you know what? As a matter of fact, I checked out your Twitter. We followed you, and you're doing windmill dunks. So that might be a hidden talent too.
Oh yeah, that too. I could ball basketball. Yeah.
What's your favorite song right now?
Ooh, favorite song. So I don't think I have a favorite song right now, but I do have a favorite artist, and that's Lil Wayne. I like pretty much anything Lil Wayne.
Okay, I got you. Did you do a bracket this year for March Madness?
No, I didn't do a bracket this year.
Okay, I got you. What's your favorite type of food?
I like rice and chicken.
Okay, I got
like
you.
Like that combination. Mm-hmm.
Favorite hobby?
Basketball. Playing
okay.
Basketball.
Biggest strength?
I am a good listener.
Hey, there you go. What does an off day look like for Bola Cumbo?
Usually lots of video games, lots of chilling, and... Yeah, that's it.
What video games are we talking about here?
Talking about Madden, mostly sports video games. Madden, 2K. Also, kind of starting to get into some role playing game. Like, I'm actually waiting for God of War coming out soon.
Oh, so you're a PlayStation guy?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Okay. Favorite player growing up?
I'd say LeBron James.
Okay. Your social media name?
What a about it.
What is your social media handle?
Oh, it's Loco, the number 4, Bolo. On Instagram, it's Loco for Bolo. On Twitter, it's Loco Buseco.
Okay, got you. Favorite number?
25.
Favorite TV show?
Favorite TV show. I have too many. I don't know. I don't know about that one.
Favorite movie? Do you have one of those?
I kind of like Sixth Sense.
Okay.
Sixth Sense.
And then
Scarface.
That's a good one. Lastly, name the countries you've been in.
Ooh, okay. Mexico, United States, obviously, Canada, Africa. Do they have to be specifically where I was at, or
just... No, just countries.
Yeah, that's about it.
Dang, that's pretty good. I've never been out of the United States, so that's saying a lot. Well, thank you so much. That'll be the end of Rapid Fire there for you. Appreciate you doing that for us. My last big question for you would be, what would be your advice to young athletes trying to make it in football?
My biggest advice, I would just tell those young guys to, well, I kind of want to be cliche and say work hard, but I think it's more than just working hard. You have to have a strong mindset. You have to have a good balance. You have to be able to know when to work and when to kind of ease off and relax and have a bit of fun. You know, I think too often people get caught up in trying to work all the time, and then they don't realize that sometimes all that work, there are some things that you can't control. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
Injuries or even like certain like just things that happen in the everyday life. So I think that just being able to have a mental state where you know the difference between like work, like when it comes to work, go ahead, grind, go ahead, put in the work. But when it comes to relax, go ahead, relax, you know, take it easy and, you know, just let things kind of flow naturally. I think that's important as well. And another thing is surround yourself with people who truly want to see you win, who truly want to see you be successful, because oftentimes people get caught up with, like, BS, like people who have bad intentions and ill will. So
right. That's
important, too, the people who you surround yourself with. And yeah, I think those are good advice that was given to me, and hopefully it helped.
Fantastic advice there. Awesome. Thank you so much, Bo. Do you have any shout-outs before we go?
Yeah, I want to shout-out my agent, Ray, and I want to shout-out my mom. I love my mom, my fellow Bone Country, my sister, my siblings. I want to shout-out San Francisco 49ers for giving me the opportunity, Oregon, and everybody.
Awesome. Thank you so much once again, Bo, for being on, and we hope to see you lacing it up with the 49ers come first game.
Thank you so much for having me.